on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Van Ciolo.
Cody, it is officially transfer portal season in college football. I did see unofficially from that unofficial transfer portal Twitter handle that there was over 1,000 players in the transfer portal. That's absolutely insane. Obviously, I don't know if that's true or not, but it seems that sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, let's see, you're dealing with, like, what is it, like, 100-plus FBS schools?
Yeah.
So you're going to see, there's going to be programs that, like, may have one or two guys transfer out. Then you're going to have other programs that's just going to have a bunch of players transfer out, whether it's due to, like, coaching, like, a coaching change is usually one of the main reasons,
mm-hmm.
or just a pretty bad year overall, and the guys just want to find, like, a better situation. So it just depends on school, like, school to school. So the number can fluctuate depending on the year.
Yeah. So there is going to be some attrition in the Iowa State on the Iowa State team. Isaiah Austin is going to be moving on as he has 1 year of eligibility left as a grad transfer. So with him, we wish him the best in his future endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
He had a pretty good game. He showed some flashes in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. I was actually sort of really excited to see how he would develop into one of the guys, but I guess the writing was on the wall in spring practice, and spring practice, things can happen, and he didn't see it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, I'm guessing, like, the competition in the wide receiver room, because the wide receiver room is probably, like, one of the deepest that I've ever seen it. So, yeah, there's a lot of competition there, and some guys may see, like, it's not panning out how they want it to go. And, you know, especially because of his situation, having 1 year left, you do want to play as much as possible. So I think it makes sense for him, like, to transfer out and look for a place that's going to, that he'll be able to play at. I'm hoping that he balls out, honestly.
Yeah, Sam, hopefully wherever he lands, he gets good production and get some tape out there and maybe be able to be a draft pick in next year's draft. Well, so it looks like we finally got some finality to the whole Nico Iamaleava saga. It looks like he ended up at UTL. Apparently, the unnecessary roughness Twitter page said that he's getting upwards to $1.75 million a year. So he took a pay cut like everybody was expecting.
Yeah, and I mean, I did say, like, if there was a place to go, I thought he'd go to USC, but I guess he went to the other LA school. But yeah, I think UCLA kind of needed a quarterback as well, because, I mean, who was their quarterback last year?
For USC?
UCLA.
I can't tell you, man.
Yeah, that's the state of UCLA. Like, the last time there's, like, a notable player out of UCLA was DTR.
Right, and that was, like, 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So it just tells you the state of UCLA football. But, I mean, this is hopefully a good pickup for UCLA, and hopefully Nico, like, can actually, I mean, you're carrying, like, if you're UCLA, you understand you're carrying around a good amount of baggage given the Twitter activity of Nico's dad. But also, I'm guessing this is kind of him wanting to play pretty close to home because he is from Southern California. So how about that?
Hey, yeah, you're playing back at home, where you're going to be playing in front of a lot of people. So it should be interesting to see how he develops and see what a talent UCLA is going to put around him. Another note I wanted to say was apparently when they were talking to Tulane, because that was the other team that was interested. Like, they were, like, so disgusted, like, with, like, his dad's, like, behavior that they just mm-hmm. ended up just ending talks. And, like, Tulane was like, yeah, we're not out. And another thing is that when you said USC, on that day, when you know, there were rumors of teams having interest. USC and Notre Dame both acknowledged that they're not going to, because they have, I know, Notre Dame has CJ Carr, promising young prospect. And I mean, that must mean that USC really, really likes Jaden Mayock and where he's at. So that goes, definitely have to be looking at those. Obviously, you know, he landed somewhere, so that saga is over. We're not going to have to hear about it. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you mentioned playing in front of a lot of people at UCLA, have you seen the Rose Bowl Stadium minus the Rose Bowl game itself?
It's empty.
I saw a tweet where it's like, if Nico Iamaleava overthrows it, it's going to hit nobody in the stands.
That's so cold-blooded.
You know what? Maybe he found John Cena in the stands. I don't know.
Say that! Can't wait to talk about WrestleMania later. But yeah, I mean, I wanted to talk about some other stuff. Obviously, if you have been, or if you're really, really active in the Twitterverse, like Cody and I are, you saw the discourse between Tennessee fans and Iowa State fans. Just some Tennessee fans just making completely false reports about
Rocco Becht
going to Tennessee and saying that, like, yeah, they're offering him $4 million and that he's in Tampa. I was like, wait, but that's not right, because he was at practice the other day. Okay. So I was like, come on, guys. And then they're backtracking and trying to gaslight Iowa State fans. I was looking at some engagement, or some people were trying to do engagement bait, where they were trying to gaslight Iowa State fans and saying, oh, we didn't really want him at all. Or it's trying to say that they're, you know, we're a much more prestigious school than Iowa State is. I'm like, okay. But see, the Florida fan in me really, really wants to go at them, because I'm like, you guys haven't won anything since 1998, and you guys literally just started winning, and you guys are acting. You guys have the attitude of Georgia, but you don't have the titles, and you haven't been to an SEC title in what, like, 17 years. So, like, you need to humble yourself. Like,
that's kind of funny you mentioned they haven't been doing,
like. Right here, Cody, this is the reason why I dislike the Vols. This is the Florida fan.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to, like, I don't know. Like, it's a conflict interesting, considering, like, one of my close friends, he's going down to Tennessee, and he's like, then he here's the thing. He used to be an Auburn fan, but as soon as he figured out, so there's this thing at, like, Iowa State, it's like SALT, so it's like, it's a faith-based thing.
Yeah,
here.
Company, yeah.
Yeah, salt company. Yeah, so they're doing a, so they're planning a salt plant down in Knoxville, Tennessee. And my roommate is like, he saw that. He's like, you know what? I got to get down to Tennessee. You got to get down to Knoxville. And now he used to be an Auburn fan, but in the past year, he switched to being a full on Tennessee fan. Like, he's got Tennessee almost everything. I half expected him to show up to games in the checkerboarded, like, bib. And I'm just like, okay, but we're seeing how this is going. So he was like, so he on Twitter was saying, he's conflicted because, number one, he's still Iowa State to the bone, but also he's being a Tennessee guy. So, yeah, but also, like, the thing with the South Florida thing, Rocco Beck's from the Tampa area, if I'm not mistaken, or somewhere around there.
Yeah, they said that they were in the Tampa area. I'm like, the only time that they would be in the Tampa area is if they were talking to maybe Byron Brown, the quarterback for South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you, once you really think about it, would Josh Heupel really do that? Because, like, him and Alex Golesh used to coach together, and they're pretty, like, friendly with each other. So, like, it doesn't make any sense. So I don't know. I'm really, really sort of questioning the validity of that report, but it was probably just engagement bait, probably.
Yeah, well, when I mentioned that, yeah, Rocco Beck's from Wesley Chapel, Florida, which is a part of the Tampa Bay area, so who knows? Maybe Rocco Beck was visiting his hometown family.
Well, but the thing is, wasn't he at practice yesterday when they were making those videos?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. So who knows? Yeah. Maybe, yeah, so who knows? Maybe that was his dad, probably, because considering his dad, Anthony Beck, is the coach of the St. Louis Battlehawks. And I think they were, yeah, let me see. The St. Louis Battlehawks' schedule, I'm looking that up. So maybe it was something to do with the Battlehawks, but I doubt it had anything to do with, like, Rocco himself.
Like, yeah.
Over here.
While you look that up, I'm gonna go to the On Three page. We're gonna look at some other notable stuff in the transfer portal, because obviously, really every show that we do, Cody, we're probably just gonna have, at least until the 26th, we're just gonna have to keep a sharp eye on the transfer portal, because like you said, we talked about this in Monday's show. This is something that they really need to monetize, dude. Because it just seems like every single day there's like something new happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I checked, the Battlehawks had nothing to do in Tampa at the time period it came out. So that clue was a fabrication. I'm not surprised. I'll admit, we Iowa State fans, we are pretty gullible. I mean, also we're coming off the Joshua Jefferson drama, so we probably were freshly off of that. So
yeah.
So it's understandable, but I mean, still, there's no legs to it. We know Rocco Beck is clearly committed to Iowa State. And I mean, you remember that tweet? Was it Barstool Big 12 that, like, or something? It was like Rocco had like multiple like offers from like SEC schools, and that turned out to be tampering or something like that?
Yes. Like, it's like we know that, like, he's gonna, he has been. You know, loyal to here, so I got to take him at his word until he proves otherwise. And I'm not gonna doubt him when he says that he's committed. So he's committed. So it looks like we're gonna look at this one pinned tweet up top. I don't know if you saw, but Micah Hudson, the 5-star receiver that was at Texas Tech and then left for A&M, and then he had a whole bunch of, I believe, mental health issues. I believe he's taking a visit to USC today, I saw. So that's going to be an interesting development. And then as we go down the page, On Three Sports, guys, we just reported that Steve Angeli plans to enter the transfer portal, and that's probably because of CJ Carr's emergence as the main guy that they're going with in South Bend.
Yep. Seeing here, let me just take a look here, just the latest, because, I mean, again, lots of, like, there's still moving parts. I mean, if you look further down, there's some basketball. Yeah, Sam Hart, you mentioned, and then he had a Georgia, interior, offensive lineman, Marquise Easley, entering the transfer portal as well.
Yeah.
Another Georgia player in Nitro Tuggle entering the portal from Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you mentioned Micah Hudson. He's visiting Utah.
That's what it was. It wasn't USC. It was Utah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, wait, go. Okay, this is going to go. We're going to go from football, basketball, go right below the Micah Hudson post.
Okay, so.
No, keep going down. Keep going down.
Keep going down. Okay, gotcha.
It's further down.
Let's see.
Yeah, one more. This one should be fun. We're going to bath.
What? How does this old dude still have?
I don't know. Let me see. Let's see. So born 2000. Okay, let's see here. He was at Duquesne for a year. San Diego State for a year. Northwest Florida State College.
Does he still have a COVID year? I thought COVID year people were done.
I think no, because he went to JUCO. Let me see this. It might have been JUCO. Let's see. Yeah, JUCO. Northwest Florida State College is a JUCO college.
Okay.
So I wonder with that ruling with the JUCO year, that's maybe why he has the extra, like, he has the extra year. That could be possible.
That makes sense.
But geez, old man. Head Baker Mazar, good lord.
Get a job, man.
But yet, I saw some Iowa State. Like, we always do this every time there's somebody into the portal. Iowa State, one person put, like, Cyclone, like, you know, the meme where it's like the Squidward pointing, and it's just.
Yeah.
Dear God, I don't know. If you were TJ, would you want Chad Baker Mazar on the team or no?
No. I just know. I mean, who knows? Because we don't know how he is. Because our fans probably know better than you do. But like, I just know that, like, the culture that TJ has, I feel like it wouldn't be a good fit.
Yeah, I think I saw a tweet where it said, like, Chad Baker Mazar, the walking crash out.
Yeah.
Yep. That's all I need to say about big of a czar, big dude, Lord. This was just wild to see this morning.
Yeah, that's insane. Trying to see if there's anybody else like.
Xavion Lee has joined your Florida Gators.
Huh. Man.
Yeah, dude was a yeah, he was a baller in the Ivy League. See,
Hey,
how about that?
this could be a guy that could replace the Walter Clayton Jr. as Walter Clayton Jr. moves on.
Yeah,
So
and I've seen
that's
some
a
of his
nice pickup for
play.
the
Yeah,
Gators.
great pickup for Todd Golden and the Gators.
Especially coming off a national championship. Like, I mean, reloading.
For sure.
And it looks like we have Melvin Council from St. Bonaventure. He has committed to Kansas.
I mean, for Kansas, is this a good pickup for Kansas?
Let's look him up. Let's look and see. We're about to see.
Yeah,
All
'cause I
right.
know.
So it looks like, so apparently from this article from 3, it looks like Mississippi State, Georgia Tech, and Georgia were interested in him. He averages 14.6 points, 5.4 rebounds, and 4.1 assists per game. So,
So,
a nice guy that can get buckets and can rebound and can assist. So, this probably would be it seems like it's a solid pickup for them.
yep. And speaking of Kansas, our old friend AJ Storr has found yet another place this time around.
Where is he at
Ole
now?
Miss. Ole Miss.
Wow, Chris Beard. So isn't this is gonna be
But
his fifth school in 5 years?
no. 8-8. So you remember, he transferred to a new high school every year, and now he's transferred to a new college every year. So it's now eight
My
schools.
goodness, dude. That is insane.
Don't know what's like. This is, God, who is it? I'm trying to go to come up with a good analogy, but this is like, I mean, maybe I'm incorrect, but this is about the same energy as 2016 Kevin Durant.
Basically, yeah. And then, did you hear about this one? Like, didn't this guy just come in like at like fall camp, and now he's leaving for spring? The Tanner Cozio
I
guy. We're
think
gonna
so.
let's
I
look,
think he
let's
did.
let's 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 really look in and look at this story. This is the transfer portal right here. The top players by Gray or by
Yes.
yeah. Oh, Derek Jensen. He's entered the transfer portal. If you don't know, everyone, Derek Jensen was looking at Iowa State, or he was looking to go to Iowa State at one point. We were able to lucky to meet his family as it comes from a very, very great family. Maybe they look to come back to Ames. Maybe that's something I'm just speculating. But Derek Jensen, he does have a relationship with the coaching staff, so maybe that's possibly something to look out for.
So there's just a lot of moving pieces, and I'm assuming like sooner or later, like a lot of these guys are gonna be home. But there hasn't been a team that I think that has been hit worse in the transfer portal than the Baylor men's basketball team.
Yeah, like no one is left, right?
I believe everybody on the Baylor squad has entered the portal and or found a new home.
Dude, I have never seen that before. Like that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I knew Baylor had like underperformed this past season, but man, I did not expected to be like an entire almost purge of the team.
Yeah, dude, th this is this portal movement is absolutely insane. Like, you want to know what this honestly reminds me of, like if you're a avid soccer watcher, like it reminds me of like the what's it called? Man, I'm trying to think about what it's called. That's a transfer portal. Oh, the transfer window.
Yeah,
Like
transfer.
soccer.
Yeah, the window.
For soccer. So that's what it reminds me of, because they usually have one right before Christmas, and then they have one right in like the summer or spring. So
Yeah.
it's gonna be interesting. I gotta feel like they like there's got to be something that comes soon, because there's no way that this is like sustainable.
Yeah, you know, and then there's one more transfer I really, really want to talk about that I just absolutely hate. Brandon Haas and committing to Ben McCollum in Iowa.
Yeah, and now an Iowa fan, I've seen Iowa fans be like, oh, look at how he plays against Iowa State. I'm like, man, y'all are already talking trash, like, already when you haven't, like, beaten us in, like, 3 years. So, like, just stop. Stop.
And they're talking about, like, Brendan Haasen shooting the lights out against us. He only went 2 of 5 from 3. Like, 60% of his points were from the free throw line, because they were calling just about anything and everything against Iowa State. Whenever Brendan Haasen did anything, they just called a foul on Iowa State, and he basically was a free throw merchant. The main guys who were killing us from the perimeter were Doug McDaniel, who, funnily enough, is in the portal, and Coleman Hawkins, who was hitting threes. They act like, okay, and then they act, did they forget what happened in the next game when we shut him down? And yeah, and granted, this was like, and then with the Kansas State game at home, this was the peak of Milan Momcilovic being out. And we're actually off of that heartbreaking loss to Arizona with the Caleb Scrub shot or whatever.
Right. And like we had, you know, the mind state of the team was already geez. Like, it was already like depleted at that point. So that was our sort of like a recipe for an upset at that point. One thing I do want to talk about before we move on to talk about WrestleMania, we got to talk about a possible pickup that could happen. We have Austin Barrett entering the portal. Austin Barrett, he is transferring out, and he is a guy who has interest in Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Western Michigan, Louisville, and Kansas State. The reason why this name sounds familiar is because Dylan Barrett, his brother, plays for Iowa State on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I believe he set the visit to Iowa State earlier this weekend. He made his declaration to visit the two Big 12 schools in Oklahoma State and Iowa State. So I think it would be pretty huge to get Austin Barrett to really bolster up the offensive line, in addition to having obviously Dylan Barrett and then just to really bolster up the offensive line, because that's going to be a crucial piece for Iowa State's success. Because we saw times where Iowa State's offensive line was good when they weren't as good, and then when they were great. So it just comes down to having like the consistency. I think there's, I don't know if anybody's going to be able to replace the production of Jalen Travis, because man,
right.
He was a stud for Iowa State in his 1 year here. He did a really good job protecting Rocco Beck's blind side, and just a great offensive lineman out of Travis. So now seeing that, I think other offensive linemen may be influenced to come here, because now Iowa State has proven they can put linemen in the draft.
Yeah, that, and then I wonder if maybe Dalen Hazer gets a shot now, and see if he, because he's a guy that has been in the offensive line room for a few years now, learning under Clanton. So let's see how he emerges in spring practice. All right. So we covered a lot in the portal and, you know, and in just Iowa State stuff in general, but we're going to go off of that. And one thing that you know about me and Cody are professional wrestling fans. And if you didn't know, like, Saturday is the Super Bowl of professional wrestling. Cody, we got WrestleMania 41 this weekend.
Man, I'm so excited for this. It's actually two nights, so it's both Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
So the whole weekend is WrestleMania weekend. And boy, oh boy, I'm looking at the match card here. I it's going to be hard to choose which match I should be good. And I mean, sure, somebody's
so we can great. See.
Yeah. Let's see here. So, you have your night one and night two match cards here listed, and I think I did see earlier in the week that WWE officially announced that the World Heavyweight Championship match will be opening night one of WrestleMania. So that's World Heavyweight Champion Gunther, the Ring General, versus main event Jey Uso, who won the 2025 Royal Rumble.
This is that Gunther and Jey Uso is going to be underrated. I really, really like Gunther and his character, man. Mm-hmm. I think he's gonna hold on to it, and they're probably gonna play this out probably until this could be something I could see that they could probably go run until probably SummerSlam.
Really interesting. I think the thing is, Jey Uso has faced Gunther multiple times, and he's lost to Gunther multiple times. So if Jey loses again, where are we looking at for Jey's character? And especially with the way the feud has built up the last couple of weeks. I mean, a couple of weeks ago on Raw, you saw Gunther just absolutely destroy Jimmy Uso, and you saw the change in Jey Uso. So you do that, and you've been building up Jey Uso as his main event player. You can't, like, what would happen? Like, if he loses again to Gunther, then people were like, what was the point of all, like, building up Jey Uso and whatever?
Good point, yeah.
And plus, Gunther has held the title for about, like, 6 months now. But, I mean, he's had great feuds, and I think you don't really necessarily need long title reigns. But, man, his title, Gunther's title reign has been great, and it's been about, like, 6 months. So, and I think it might be time. Maybe Jey Uso gets, like, this break to get, like, that the moment. And he doesn't even have to have the title for long.
Right.
But, I mean, I think Jey Uso will probably win this because you see the difference in Gunther. Like, I saw the promo last week or Monday. You saw there was a shift in Gunther's demeanor. Like, he actually looked afraid. He was a bit shook by Jey Uso. So I think Gunther is falling to the trap that he did last year when he faced Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship. He underestimated the willpower, the heart and will of Sami Zayn, and that cost him the Intercontinental title. If he does that again, it's going to cost him the World Heavyweight title, and I think Jey Uso could actually pull off the upset to start WrestleMania, and I think it'd be a great way to start off the WrestleMania weekend with a big upset and a crowning of Jey Uso.
Now, do you think that they're going to keep the women's title on Stratton? Because I am going to lose it if they, like, because Charlotte Flair has held it so many times. You just please, I don't want to see Charlotte with it again.
I would hope so, honestly. I will say the feud for the women's championship has been a bit better, but it just feels so, like, very disappointing. Like, this has been a very weak feud. I just haven't really cared for it as much, especially when they tried to build Charlotte as, like, this babyface character, but the crowd clearly hated her. Like, you could tell, like, the first promo after the Royal Rumble, the crowd was not messing with it. They were not having it.
Yeah.
And granted, they've ramped it up a bit. I mean, you've seen I saw the promo battle recently when they call each other out on their personal lives, and Charlotte meet, like, running the fade with Tiffany in the parking lot, and then on that same show of SmackDown. So I think this would just be a great one for Tiffany's drawing, because Charlotte does not really need, like what are they going to do? Because name me a notable Charlotte Flair title reign.
Okay.
Exactly.
And lastly, the last match I want to talk about is we got to talk about this triple threat match, Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns versus CM Punk. What are your thoughts on this one?
I have been loving this feud for the... This has been a great, like, build. This build for this in this feud, it's been fun. It's been so fun to watch these guys just go at each other. Like, I mean, we throw the term crash at a lot, but this is literally, like, the epitome of it. You got three guys just going at, like, I just don't care about the family, care about anything. They just want to beat the shit out of each other. They just absolutely destroy each other. And there is, like, a story to it, too, because you remember about, what was it, 12, 13 years ago, CM Punk personally brought up Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns along with Dean Ambrose for the Shield. So there's that history. And then now you got the history of Seth and Roman, and then Seth and CM Punk. And there's one common fact between all three of these guys, Paul Heyman.
And that's the part of the match that I'm interested in, because I'm wondering if he's going to go with Seth or if he's going to go with Punk, because there's been a lot of teasing, and I'm wondering who Paul Heyman is going to go with.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see where Paul Heyman's loyalty falls, because obviously Paul Heyman was the one who kept CM Punk floating in WWE when everybody else in WWE didn't care about him. Paul Heyman was the guy to keep him afloat. And then we saw, obviously, Roman Reigns become the tribal chief under the guidance of the wise man. Yeah. And now Seth Rollins has come into the mix because he spared Paul Heyman's, because he could have easily cursed on Paul Heyman and sent him to the hospital, but he didn't. And now he's playing out the fact that, like, now you owe me a favor. And then the most recent episode of Raw, they ended the show with Seth Rollins with a steel chair. in the like they did the exact spot from 2014 when Seth betrayed and killed the Shield.
Man, I remember that. I was watching that. That was insane. That was an insane moment.
Yeah, that had me shook, but this triple threat match. I'm just so excited for this triple threat match.
Yeah, that's going to be the main event. And then we move to Sunday. I want to talk about, I have some interest in the street fight with Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre. What do you think about that?
This is the epitome of two dudes who meeting who both have black Air Force energy. They are it's always on site between the two. I mean, Drew McIntyre with the eye patch, and now he took Damian Priest's necklace on the last episode of SmackDown, if I'm not mistaken, which mirrors what he did against CM Punk.
This one's gonna be this is gonna hey, it's gonna be a street fight, man. I'm excited for that one. This fatal four way for the Intercontinental Championship is definitely gonna be interesting. Seeing Finn get another title shot, it's awesome.
I mean, let's see, yeah, Braun Breaker. The clip of him spearing Carlito out of his boots was crazy.
Dude, that was a better that might be have been a better spear than Goldberg's spear.
Definitely so. I would have to say yes. And you got Dominic Mysterio, who is so fun to hate. It's so fun to just hate the dude.
He's a
Penta.
great heel. Yeah, he's a great heel,
And
dude.
then Penta. His entrance is so cool. I love his entrance so much. And there's like a he does like a mix of so his strut is a mix of like La Parka, an old WCW character, and the late great Scott Hall, Razor Ramon. Just the dude just
Interesting.
yeah the dude just oozes charisma, and the pyro is just great. I love Penta.
And then we have the Women's Tag Team Championship. We have Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez for the champion versus Bayley and Nyra Valkyria.
Yep. Not much to say about this one. So, I mean, I wouldn't. I don't. I really don't care for this one. But the
That me
women's world
neither.
champ. Yeah, the women's world championship. I'm excited for this one. Io Sky, Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. I'm
Bobby
pulling for
is going to
Io.
show out in this match.
I'm pulling for Io though. I think Rhea and Bianca are gonna cost each other the title because Io's been like kind of pushed to the side, whereas Rhea and Bianca have been really butting heads with each other. I think Io Sky's gonna be able to take advantage of it, and then that's how she's gonna win the triple threat.
I can see
They're gonna
that,
take.
yeah. And then Rhea and Bianca still continue there for you. I can see that, yeah. And then it's the undisputed WWE Championship, man. We have Cody Rhodes versus John Cena. Man, John Cena has finally turned heel. This is something that people have been waiting for years now. And I mean, the best part of his heel character is that he's still the same guy and he hasn't changed anything. And that's the best part.
That's exactly the point. I love how it's like people were like saying I'm hoping he gets new theme music, new outfits or whatever, and what is he gonna do? Nothing.
He's like, no, I'm gonna do the same thing. You guys don't deserve this. I'm like, yes, I love it.
Yeah, I will say one thing that has been missing from this whole thing is like The Rock's like involvement, because remember like there was like the whole segment Elimination Chamber with The Rock and Travis Scott. And The Rock's involvement has just never been explained, so I feel like that's kind of been like the missing link and the missing plot hole in all this. So this feud has just been more like John Cena versus the fans rather than like his like him selling out to The Rock, because other than one mention of The Rock, he hasn't been mentioned at all. So I'm wondering if they're saving it for like WrestleMania, because.
That's probably gonna involve the it's either gonna involve the ending or they're gonna talk about it on Raw after Mania.
Well, it would have to happen at Mania for it to be talked
Okay.
about on Raw. But I think both guys have a reason. Like, there is good reason to win. But I think John Cena, this is kind of a must win given, like, because now they just recently turned heel and kind of want to build him up as, like, this ultra, like Goku Black almost. Like,
Right.
and if you have John Cena lose, then nobody's going to care for the rest of it. And plus, we've seen some of the dates that John Cena is scheduled to appear. One of them is, I believe, like in St. Louis. I think it may be after or before a WrestleMania Backlash. And knowing St. Louis and knowing John Cena, you know he's from St. Louis?
Oh, John, no, John Cena's from John Cena.
No, I'm referring to Randy Orton.
Yeah. Oh man, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so who knows? I'm expecting that to possibly mean that John Cena may face Randy Orton because they're like one of the best. They were one of the greatest rivals, and basically for me growing up in wrestling was those two going at it.
Yeah, ruthless aggression there, man, that entire time up to the reality here, and like it's coming off, coming full
Yeah.
circle.
And how about that dynamic changing too? Now that you have a heel John Cena and a face Randy Orton.
It's bro, it's gonna be cinema, man. I look forward to this next few months of wrestling. And with that, it's a crazy world, Cody, because now you can bet on the outcomes of WrestleMania, and you can do that with my bookie.
Yeah, it's my bookie. Now that we obviously we're in the WrestleMania season, baseball is obviously still going on. So I mean that's gonna be prime. And now we're in the NBA playoffs. It did not end well for your Chicago Bulls, did it, Tyler?
No, I'm so tired of the Reinsdorf, man. They have ruined two teams for me. They've ruined the White Sox, and now the Bulls are just an NBA hell.
So my bookie, they do have WWE WrestleMania odds here, so I can just list a couple of them. So they have Jey Uso listed as a -600.
Wow.
CM Punk is listed as a, well, back to the Jey Uso Gunther match. Gunther is a +50 or 350 underdog. The WrestleMania triple threat match between Punk, Rollins, and Roman Reigns, CM Punk is the favorite at -190. Let's see. They even have a prop bet for who does Paul Heyman leave the ring with after the triple threat match. Look at these are odds. It's hilarious. CM Punk is the leading favorite at +125. Then it's Seth Rollins +200, Roman Reigns +300, Reigns and Rollins at +350, +500 for Reigns and Punk. Even Brock Lesnar is on here +800. Brock Lesnar.
Dude, I need to put money on Lesnar to come out.
That would be chaotic.
That'd be insane.
Yeah, I the WWE Women's World Championship match, Bianca Belair is a -110 favorite. Omni Mysterio is the favorite at -200 for the Fatal 4-Way Intercontinental Championship match.
I can see that. Yeah, that makes
I wouldn't
sense.
be surprised. Come on, come on, come on. Where is the I need And the Undisputed Championship, WWE Championship, John Cena is the favorite at -210.
Makes sense. So hey, if you want to try your luck this weekend in watching the two nights of WrestleMania, make sure to type in our promo code MM50 at MyBookie and take your chances and win some money. So with that being said, Cody, this was a fun episode talking Transit Portal and also just talking WrestleMania with you. This is great to have another wrestling fan on this show.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows? With WrestleMania or well, with SmackDown coming to Des Moines here in a couple of weeks, I'd be really interested to see what would happen. Considering, I don't know, the storylines that might falter, fall after WrestleMania. I might need to book a ticket to SmackDown.
Well, we will be covering that on the Believe in Wednesday podcast, since now this is the off season. Of course, we're going to be giving you still Cyclones content, but we're also just going to be talking about other content that is relevant within the sports world. Obviously, we have the NFL draft coming up next week, so obviously we're going to have some draft content for you, especially with the draft being starting next Thursday. So I'm thinking about maybe the Monday after, maybe trying to have our draft analyst that I had that draft analyst that we had on, or scout that we had on about a few months ago when we had him on for the NFL Combine. So that might be something to look out for. And I'm thinking about maybe trying to bring another coach on, so you guys watch out for that too. But with that, we thank you guys for tuning in to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Thank you guys for so much for your support. A few things before we leave. We are a top 15 sports podcast in the state of Iowa, nominated by FeedSpot. Thank you guys for always supporting us. For people in the great state of Iowa, yes. And then you can find me on social media at SciTiGuy on Twitter, and I'll chop it up with you. Also, find my takes and about the horrible Chicago White Sox, me complaining about the Cowboys, and talking about Florida this upcoming season in football. Cody, on the other hand, I think he still might be sad about his Braves. So, try to talk to him in, maybe later in the summer, because the Braves are always a second half team. So yep. maybe they'll get together.
Yeah, maybe as long as we continue to get, like, hold on, hopefully Ron Acuna is back in the lineup. I mean, I saw great things about Sean Murphy. But boy, and we got Spencer Strider back, so that's great. And just really just want to catch the Phillies, because they're somehow, like, for whatever reason, Philly fans. I don't know if there are any Philadelphia Philly fans on the show. But y'all be up in our official team account saying, ha-ha, Spencer Strider, wait till you play the Phillies. I'm like, you are literally, shouldn't you be worried about trying to win the NL East? Because you're a game behind the Mets.
I would focus on that. Leading the East right now?
Yeah, the NL East, yes. They are a game up on the Phillies.
I'll say that the Mets are leading the East for now. For now.
Yep, I'm waiting for the inevitable collapse.
Yeah, the Mets are going to collapse at some point.
Yep.
But, you know, as well, follow us on social media as well. How you can find us, BLEAV. Find us on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. So for Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Van Steele.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Let's go State.